All right, so I'm back with my brothers. We had a little technical difficulty there, but we're back on. Hopefully you were edified by that kind of bullet point teaching on the Lord's Prayer. Any thoughts or anything on that, brothers?
Nothing for me at the moment. I'm still pondering on it, and I'll think about it maybe later, a bit later, if I got something.
How about your brother, Akuo? Any thoughts or anything?
I've always found it interesting. You made a really interesting point about the Lord already knows what we're going to ask for before we ask for it.
So why
does he have us?
Yeah, why ask?
Yeah. And I found it like in Matthew 21. I'm not sure if you said this verse. Verse 22, it says, "All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive."
Yeah.
And that word believing, it means like faith to entrust. So if we pray and we trust that the Lord has our good in mind, and that he'll give us what we need, and we trust that if we pray for good things, let's say like understanding something we don't understand something, or let's say like a wife or something, like it says in the scriptures, he that, you know, desires a wife desires a good thing. If we pray for like things that are explicitly good, he's a good father. And he knows that we have need of such things. So he just wants us to ask for, because if you don't ask, you don't receive. So I think that's an interesting point you made about that, because I've always thought about that.
Yeah, you could think about a father with a child. You know, a father would tell a child, I have rules, and the rules are for your own good. And the father knows everything that the child's going to need. The child's 4 years old. He has no clue. Dad goes, I know you're going to need not diapers at 4 years old. I know you're going to need new clothes. I know you're going to need this. You're going to need food. You need protection. His dad knows all that stuff. But his father, being his authority figure, doesn't say, just go do all that without me, do all that. He says, come to me, and I will give you what you need. And the father knows by teaching his son, he's the authority, come to me, I'm your protector, I'm the giver of good things. He's building a framework for that young child to have an understanding of where your authority comes from, and to not be a brat, to not rule over everyone around you, but to submit yourself to your authority. And that's, I think, why the father continues to ask us to come in prayers, because it really keeps us humble. I mean, if God put everything just in a little on a shelf in a vending machine, go take whatever you want. Whenever you want it, just take it. What's going to happen in our human fallen nature?
Oh, we're going to take advantage of that.
and we're going to think, "Oh, I don't need of nothing. I just take whatever I want." You know? But when we go and petition the Father, and then ready? Who do we petition the Father's name in?
Jesus, because he's our mediator.
And how was he, if I think about that, how did he become my mediator?
I mean, by his sacrifice.
So yeah. We're going to the Father. We got to go to the Father to ask. We got to go through this mediator. When you think of the mediator, you go, he shed his blood for me. See how that keeps us humble?
And if we walk in the light, we have fellowship. And we're cleansed. We have Jesus covering us. So then we can ask our mediator.
Amen.
What we want. I see. Okay.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah. So it's like it's all tied together. And it really, going and asking in prayer and in Jesus' name and remembering the gospel keeps us in our place.
Yeah.
It keeps us in our place. Does that make sense, Brother Fos?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
And then verse 11, thought when you said that we must keep our focus on today and not tomorrow and the world and this carnality and all that stuff. I mean, that's what I always believe. It's just thinking and doing things on one day at a time, and try not to think too much about the future.
Yeah.
Although we have to make provision for the future, but And sometimes people see some people actually overemphasize on the future, and everything is for the future, and they forget about the now.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. For older men like you and I, it might not be as hard to look at our faith life and go, what? I got to endure for the rest of my life? Well, we might not have all that much time left. You take a young man like Brother Kuo, who's only 26, and he goes, man, I got to endure for the rest of my life through this world. And that could be like, man, I might live another 50 years. This is going to be really hard, until he goes, wait a minute. I only have to do it one day at a time.
Yeah.
And the encouragement is, my father just helped me endure yesterday. I did that. I just have to endure today. And I know tomorrow's coming, but I'll just look back tomorrow and go, I endured the day before that. And you see how faithful God is, and then one day becomes another day, becomes another day, becomes another day. And I find it interesting. We don't practice birthdays or anything, but go figure out how many days you've been alive. Take your calculator there, Brother Kuo, and do 26 times 365. How many days is that?
Let me see.
26 years times 365 days.
9,490.
I don't know about you, Brother Fos. I don't even want to figure mine out.
No, thank you.
Brother Kuo, knock off about 10 years of there, because you probably don't have much memory before that. So you sit there and you go, well, wow, I've lived 6,000 days. And you go, that's a long time. And wow, they add up, and they do go by. And how did you get there? 10 at a time, 100 at a time, 500 at a time? One at a time. So that's a great point that Brother Fos brings up, is everybody, and Jesus covered that. He said, why are you worried about tomorrow? It's got enough woes for itself. Today. Focus on today. Amen. How does that help you, Brother Fos? You're an older man like me. How does that help you looking forward by just... Or I should say, living and moving forward by just focusing on one day at a time.
I'll be honest, I've never actually was a person that used to think about the future, because I always believe, even from a young age, I mean, anything can happen to you at any given time. I could walk across the road, I could be knocked over and I'm gone. Could be lying in bed, the gas could catch on fire, you know, any sort of circumstances. So even as a young child, I didn't worry too much about the future.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Brother Kuo, is that difficult for a younger man to think about, or does that help you, just thinking, I just have to do this one day at a time?
Well, I came from a world where it was always like, you have to finish college, you have to finish college, you have to finish this project, you have to finish this design thing, you have to do this, that, and the other. It's all in the future. So this is actually a relief where I can say, one day at a time.
Yeah.
Taking it with the Lord. So
Don't have to do anything except abide in Christ. That's all. Now, in that, there's many things, but that's one big thing to focus on. Like Noah built an ark of wood, and when God said it was time, what did he have to do? He got in
inside.
It. He got in it. And he just waited on God inside. You're in Christ by the gospel. Now you just wait on God, serving him, abiding in Christ, in his word, doing what he's called you to do, but you just do it one day at a time. And that's, do you not think like the world? Ready? Oh, what's going to happen? Oh, if Biden gets elected again, what's going to happen? Oh, COVID might come back. What's going to happen? Oh, there's going to be a drought. What could happen? Oh, my 401k is crashing. What's going to happen? I have a question. If you live one day at a time, and you abide in Christ for eternity, is there not a chance you're going to have a really, really good opportunity to have that inner joy and peace and calm going? You know what? What I'm counting on, my father said no man could take away. Moths can't eat. Thieves can't rust, steal. It won't rust away. I got it. I got peace.
Amen.
So when you set your affections on things above, Colossians 3:2, you have peace and you don't have to worry about what the world worries about.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about talk about this. So this Lord's Prayer that everybody, like in the Lutheran faith, probably reads over ad nauseum, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Isn't it amazing to you that the Lord's Prayer that he gave us, where he warns about vain repetition, literally becomes a vain repetition? Can you speak to me, Brother Akuo?
Yeah, that's an interesting point, how Satan took that and was like, well, I'll just turn that prayer into a vain repetition. And yeah, that's crazy.
Isn't that, have you ever thought about that, Brother Fos?
Yeah, well, I noticed that in the charismatic churches. I mean, they all repeat the same thing over and over. That's why the old pastors in the old days used to call it the 24/7 sort of prayers, because it was the same thing 24/7. 365 days a year.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And then how about vain repetition? Any thoughts on that? Vain, it's useless. So
it's useless, yeah.
Yeah, it would be like I talked about, like the Roman Catholic prayers. Hail Mary, full of grace. Hail Mary, full of grace. It's vain. It's repetition. It's useless. Why? It's not coming from their heart. And they're not connected via spirit and truth. It's coming from a man-made mantra that God says, no, I don't even hear it. I don't even want that. God doesn't want some form fit of religion. God wants your heart. He wants who you are focused and seeking him. How do we get there? By speaking a bunch of vain babbling.
That's an interesting point, because then you can think of like all of the denominational religions and everyone that thinks they're praying to God, but that's all just vain repetition. It's even an abomination.
Yeah. It becomes one of my favorite verses that woke me up when I was a brand new believer, is Matthew 15, where he says, your hearts are far from me. You worship me with your lips. Oh, they sing in the church building, and they dance and move around. Then they walk outside with their Bibles, and they'll run you over with their car to get away from you, because the truth of God's not in their hearts, and love for God and their neighbors not in their hearts. But they can sing good. Or they pray in there.
Yeah, and then some of the songs repeat themselves over. It's like they're trying to enchant people, and that's also a form of witchcraft and divination. So, and people get brainwashed by it, because in that sentence they start dead. Like, if you look at the pop culture, they're all banging their heads the same way, dancing the same way. It's just wicked and evil.
It's funny you mentioned that, Brother Koo and I yesterday were talking about mass hysteria. Whether it be this young man that has been emailing me, was talking about he was slain in the spirit one time where he fell over under the power of God. Well, that's either demonic power or mass hysteria, where people just want to fall over like everyone else. It's one or the other. It's not of God. There's not one place in the Bible where anybody fell over by the power of the Holy Spirit in a good way. One young man had a demon and Jesus cast it out and he fell like dead, but that's not when he received the Holy Spirit. And so this mass hysteria, or demonic, Satan has all kinds of false ways that he slips in as supposedly the real thing, doesn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So.
And it's amazing how the Christian music today has become more of a pop culture than anything else.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you see the world dancing. We see it all the time. We hear Christian music come on, and you see the worldly people rocking to it and dancing and moving. It's Christian music. It's like, what? That's craziness. Music to God is supposed to be unto God, and they're just doing it because it sounds good, you know, it makes their body move.
So
there's those key elements in the Lord's Prayer, how we should, and last point, in private, what's your thoughts on that? We all see it, but what's your thoughts on that in private versus what the religious system does?
Bible verse when I was younger, when I read it, private means private. That's between you and God, and it's not supposed to be between you, man, and God. I mean, man is not going to get you to heaven. Only you and God is going to get you to heaven.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's important that people focus. I mean, it's okay for saints to pray together, but I think it's really good for people to focus on their mind, their thoughts, right to the Father through Christ, one-on-one, because guess what? When we die, it ain't going to be me with Brother Cool and with Brother Fos. It's us one-on-one.
See, with the charismatic churches, when they used to get together to pray, this is one of the reasons why I also don't like to so-called pray with people, because you get these preachers that pray these fantastic so-called prayers, and it sounds so nice and awesome, and then all of a sudden you think now you want to like imitate that person. So then your prayer doesn't become private and doesn't become godly anymore. Now it becomes man-centered.
Yep.
And that, when I was in the church, I mean, that used to put me off totally, and I was never ever comfortable with it. So thank God's grace. So, like I said, 2 years later, I was out of there.
Praise God.
But, yeah.
Praise God you came out, brother. We're so happy. We're so happy to know you and have you with us.
Thanks, yeah.
Yeah. Anything else about the Lord's Prayer?
Just one thing I was reading, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 13. It's like I was thinking, you know, God doesn't tempt us outside of our will, and sometimes He might tempt us. He can give us an opportunity to look at ourselves and to prove our faith towards Him. But He never leads us into evil, and He never desires us to have evil. But then also, like you also mentioned earlier on, we must also have our own responsibilities, our own minds to come out of that evil and a way of thinking of man, so we don't get led astray.
Amen. Yeah, amen. Look what's going to come upon the world, the tribulation. And Jesus said in Matthew 24 that the deception will be so great, and we see it building, we see it growing with all this religious deception and praying in Jesus' name and doing things in Jesus' name. He said the deception will be so great with signs and wonders and miracles that even the elect will be deceived, if it was possible. It's not possible. We won't be deceived if we stay in the Word, stay in the Spirit. But that's how great the deception will be in the last days.
Yeah, it's going to be.
And we can be assured to not be swept away with it by keeping our eyes on Christ and in the Word.
Amen.
And it's nice to have brothers to sharpen each other on as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Anything else, Brother Cool?
No, I think that's all I got.
Yeah, the one thing I was going to say is we hear this all the time. Oh, Jesus said not to preach on the corner. Look at you out there preaching on the corner. What do we say about that, Brother Cool?
He said don't pray on the corner. Right. That was the first thing I think you asked me when I met you. Yeah.
I was just going to say, Brother Fos, I met young Brother Akua when I was out street preaching, and he stopped and was listening to me rebuke a pastor, and I turned to him as he was sitting there, and they said to me, look at you, you're out there street preaching on the corner. Jesus said not to street preach on the corner. And I turned to this young man, and I said, do you know the Bible? And he said, I think I do. I said, did Jesus tell us not to preach on the corner? And Brother Fos said, or Brother Akua goes, no. I said, what did he say? He said, don't pray on the corners. He said, I haven't seen you praying out here. It was awesome. The very first day we met, he was helping me rebuke a false teacher. That was awesome. All right, brothers, we're going to leave it right there then. Thanks for your time on that. We'll throw this up in the gathering area to edify others, and the other brothers that aren't on right now because they're working, they can listen into it. So good job.